My name is Benjamin Neely. I am from Southwest Arkansas. I am a preacher. And I grew up in Southwest Arkansas. I was born in DeQueen. I graduated from DeQueen. My parents were born in DeQueen, Arkansas, and they graduated from DeQueen, Arkansas. My grandparents were born in DeQueen, Arkansas, and so on and so forth. And in DeQueen, Arkansas, there are two types of people. There are the people who believe in Jesus and believe that Jesus rose from the grave, and they go to church. And then there are people who believe in Jesus and believe that Jesus rose from the grave, and they don't go to church. There's no atheists in DeQueen, Arkansas.
How many are in DeQueen, Arkansas?
4,000 people in DeQueen, Arkansas. Okay. Maybe a little more now. But when I grew up, that's just sort of the situation I grew up in, is that no one ever really doubted what we fervently believe. No one said, that's not true. No one challenged us on it. And so the first time I ever interacted with someone who didn't believe, because the baseline of my system was, do you believe? That's the baseline. Like, that was the starting point. You back up a little bit further, I didn't know what to do with them. And I was blown away by the fact that they didn't believe. Of course, you just got to believe. All right, believe, and then we'll talk about the important stuff. And I didn't have a system to handle that because I had not dealt with the fact that Christianity is difficult to believe. I was born, my dad was the youth minister at our church. I was born in church. Not literally in a church, but I was born in church, raised by a church. And so when someone says, I'm out on that, I don't believe it. And when I walk out into an unbelieving world, I don't know what to do. But then I learned, has anyone done the Ignatius prayer? Where you sit and you ponder and imagine what the story of Scripture looked like. You try to picture yourself in the shoes of someone just looking on. And someone was leading me through that in college. It was in one of those, for me, as a conservative Christian in Southwest Arkansas, it was just one of those hoity-toity, I don't know about this, but okay, I'll sit and be quiet. And they were walking us through just a story in the gospel. Actually, it was in Acts, where Jesus comes to his disciples. And he tells them, I am going to be with you soon, so go into Jerusalem and wait for me there. It's actually in Acts 1, verse 9. He said, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And I almost fell out of my chair. He flew. And I'd never noticed it. They were talking to him, and then he just flew away. And to watch that, and then an angel comes and is standing off to the side and says, why are y'all looking into the sky? Well, sir, a man just flew up there. But what is baffling to me now is not that it happened, but that we read it like it didn't happen. Like we're not blown away by the things we read. Remember when Jesus is in the garden and a group of men come to arrest him, and Malchus is there. Remember Malchus? And Malchus shows up with his boss, and they're just there to arrest Jesus. And we tell the story. Listen. We tell the story where he says that Peter then drew his sword, and cut off the ear of Malchus. And then Jesus says, put your sword away. The fact that we just read through that without even stopping. Yeah, though we want to get to the he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. But why did Peter think cutting off Malchus's ear would be beneficial to the situation? Was he aiming for the ear? Was he angry but like dainty? You know, it takes a lot of accuracy and just to get in there. I've got this, Jesus. Done. We just read through that like it's no big deal. And I think that bothers people who don't believe like we do. And it bothers me as a preacher that I have to say, guys, he was making more bread. That's the one that gets me. The bread. Every other miracle I can picture in my head, right? Guy's blind, I can't see. Boom, I can see. That's easy. Laying down, stand up and walk off. It is an easy thing to imagine most of the miracles. But the bread? Turning into more bread? And more bread? Have you ever watched a visualization of this, like a movie of it? They always fade to black. And come back and there's more bread. They can't figure it out either. Even if you could figure out CGI, like somehow to make it like Jesus has just like got it in his coat and is just throwing it out. What's crazy though, and it's an indication of our mentality, is that we are hard on the disciples for not understanding. As if we would have understood had we been there. So they say, this is all we have. And Jesus says, okay, yeah. Now, the best way I can picture it is like, you imagine like a loaf of bread and he just picks it up and there's another one there. And then there's just another. And you know what we should call that miracle? The miracle of the fishes and the loaves and the baskets. Because where'd they get all the baskets?
Came with the bread.
Fish basket miracle. That's pretty easy. But we read that like it's the disciples' fault. We read that as if they just somehow couldn't grasp what they needed to grasp. And if they could hurry up and grasp it, we'd all be on the same team. But the world's looking at the things we believe and they're saying, that's kind of crazy. And our first instinct often is to get defensive. Because it's something we hold dear. It's like a childhood friend, our belief system. So we have this childhood friend that walks with us and talks with us, and we know it quite well, and we know its ins and outs. And someone says, I don't think that's true. Our instinct is to get defensive. I mean, every Christmas, there's some nut on Facebook complaining that Starbucks doesn't have red and green cups. Some silly controversy about, you know, this business. I mean, that's just as silly as going into Starbucks and demanding they celebrate your birthday like your mom does. The world isn't going to believe like we believe. What did Jesus say to his disciples? They're going to hate you like they hated me. But for some reason, we have built a system where we are so confident of these benign facts. When someone challenges that, we are so upset. And I think the solution to getting ourselves in a healthy place when it comes to interacting with people who think differently than we do. She's over here.
Thank
face.
Oh, thanks, brother. I realize.
I don't know, it's hard to find. I don't know if they can edit the recordings. But it's to cultivate an astonishment once more. And sometimes that means having to go all Bob Goff on everybody and going, "He flew! Just in the air!" If I would have stand to you in 35 minutes, I said, "Thank y'all for coming," and just took off. Y'all wouldn't go outside and say, "Well, sure are a lot of steps out here. We're climbing steps all the time. Everyone's talking about the steps." Y'all would say, "I saw a guy fly today." Have you ever had one of those situations, like a story, that for like the next couple days, you can't talk about anything else? And your spouse says, "You could. I've heard you tell that story to other people 17 times in the past 24 hours. And it just, now I like creating stories for people like that. That's sort of my goal in life, is to give people a story to go home to their spouse and say, "You'll never know, guess what this guy said to me today." If you want to do that, it's easy. You just go into an ice cream shop and say, "I will not tolerate this," and then leave. And they're going to have to figure out, "I don't know if he's lactose intolerant or even like a..." I don't know. And you want people to go home and say, "Honey, you'll never know what happened to me today." But sometimes you run into a story that just so overwhelms you that you just say, I'm going to have a hard time talking about anything else. And as we watch the disciples go into the world, they are not offended by the world's disbelief. Actually, they are completely uninfluenced by the world's disbelief. Because they get how crazy what they're saying is. They get it. They understand, because they lived it, and they said, "Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't even believe it at first." Read the end of all the Gospels. There's always somebody who didn't get it. And at the end of Luke, it's all of them. The women see him. Mary, and Joanna all saw him. And they come back and they say, "We saw him." And the guys go, "Pfft." They didn't believe it either. And we're really hard on Thomas, because he went to the grocery store when Jesus showed up. I don't know if that's exactly where he went, but it's as good of a place as any. They didn't get it. I think the church and the Christians go through a process of grief in our salvation. I think a lot of Christians in my neck of the wood, and you could agree or disagree, Randy, a lot of Christians in my... the stages of grief are denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and acceptance. And denial is obviously, that can't be. That's what the disciples experienced when they were told about the resurrection of Jesus. The bargaining is, what can I do? What are we going to do now? It's Peter saying, "Let's go fishing." Anger happens in a Christian's life often when we are convicted by our neighbor's sin, or convicted or hurt by a perceived injustice on God's part. And a lot of times Christians kind of get stuck in that cycle of bargaining, trying to earn my own salvation, trying to get it all right and get it all figured out. Tell me what I can do to fix this. And they were really upset at the world. I hear that a lot. Oh, the world just isn't what it used to be. Yes, present day doesn't compare to nostalgia. Ever. And we get mad at the culture. We'll say the culture. We used to be a Christian nation. Back in the 60s. I always remind my members, you only say that because you're white. And so we get really upset at the people around us. And we feel that anger. And all, if you're stuck in the bargaining anger cycle of Christianity, you will never find acceptance of the grace of God. It takes you going through the depression of your own brokenness to see yourself clearly for what you actually are before you can accept the help that you need to rescue you from the thing that has depressed you in the first place. Your own brokenness, your own death. Now, I think one of the problems we have is we never experience denial. We didn't start at the right place. It's amazing how quickly we will say, yes, kids, our Balaam was sent by Balak and his donkey talked to him. And yes, and color that, and now we're done. Jesus walked on water. Yes, he did. You got to believe it. And that's reaching over into Peter and his class across the way. But thank you for not going to that. I'm just kidding. I do appreciate that you're here. But we a lot of times don't have this sense of, oh my goodness, that's nuts. It is crazy that happened. Now, I believe that it happened, but it's nuts. Jesus rose from the grave. Every Easter we get up and we say, yes, Jesus rose from the grave. And we need to be astonished by this. We need to be blown away. And sometimes with your kids, that's going to take faking it for a little bit. Because you colored the pictures growing up, didn't you? Christian, the story of the Bible in our memory is mostly cartoon. And as we color the pictures, they're just sort of our creations. And we know what's going to happen. We know what it's going to look like. We make it look like what we want it to look like. And Jesus' resurrection should floor us. We should be confused instead of having it all together. We should not have it all figured out. We like to pretend that we have it all figured out, don't we? Have you ever heard this? I heard someone say this just the other day. I'm not good with faces, but I'm not good with names, but I'm pretty good with faces. Those aren't the same skill. Those aren't equal. Like, that isn't, one doesn't replace the other. See, that's a face, and that's a face, and that's a face, and that's a face. It's like going to your teacher and saying, listen, I know I'm struggling at college algebra, but I'm really good with shapes. I don't know what it's called, but I know when I see a shape that I've seen the shape before. We're always making excuses for ourselves. Like, even when we're bad at something, but I'm good at this. We would like to be right, and when people around us don't think we're right, we take it as an offense. But Christians have an incredible opportunity when people don't think we're right to tell them, yeah, I can see where you would think that. I know we sound crazy, but we believe it. And that sort of belief, the one that starts at denial, is the kind that can escort you clearly to acceptance. The one that allows us to feel like confused about the gospel. You know what it feels like? It feels like humility. I don't have this all figured out. Because frankly, it's confusing. And every rock I turn over and find some truth, I realize there's 7 or 8 other rocks that I have yet to turn over. Every question or every answer leads to 3 or 4 new questions that God is bigger than me, and it's confusing and it's crazy, but I believe it. I think we are better off addressing an unbelieving world when we realize how unbelievable our beliefs are. When we can empathize with them. Say, yeah, no. I get it. I see where you're coming from. Because I've been blown away by it too. The posturing that happens, the posturing of superiority that often happens, where I say, I've got it all together, and people who question me are wrong. You don't recruit, no one converts to Jesus with that tone. Now, they may convert to religious superiority. Do you want to be religiously superior like I am? Yes. Well, then come on, follow these steps and be religiously superior. But the grace of God is unbelievable. It's crazy. I do this with my kids. My kids color pictures of Jesus. And they bring it to me. And they hand it to me in between Bible class and worship. Here. And I'll say, what'd you do? And they'll open it and they'll say, I colored this. Well, tell me about that. What happened? That's the question. What happened? And when they tell me what happened, I always say, that's nuts. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy that he walked on water? How did he not sink? I don't want them to take for granted that the facts they believe are not normal facts. I want them to feel kind of confused by this whole thing. Because it's in the confusion when you meet Jesus and you say, oh, that's what love looks like. That you really can connect with what the disciples felt. I'm a preacher, and there's a lot of times. Huh? Do we have any preachers in here? People who preach? yeah. You? Yes, you do. Okay. Have you ever... What's your name?
Colt.
Yes. With a K?
C.
Okay. C-O-L-K.
C-O-L-T.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Double hit.
Yeah. Are you good with names?
I'm also... I'm not good with names, but I...